Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Friends Till the End, your one-stop shop for all things Friends as we run down the classic sitcom episode by episode. I'm Michael, and I've seen Friends over 200 times. It's factually correct.
And I'm Elizabeth, and I've never seen Friends.
That is quite something, although I feel like the gimmick of the show is kind of obsolete now.
Why is that?
Well, it's just like the television show New Girl, mm-hmm. and not because it involves a lot of people shouting, but in New Girl, right, first episode, got three guys, and Zooey Deschanel joins their apartment. She's the new girl, okay? That's the pilot. Then, for the second episode, one of the three guys leaves the show, and another guy joins the show. So he's the new guy, and Zooey Deschanel is no longer the new girl, because someone else is new. So, like, it's, like, immediately the whole point of the show is out the window, because she's not the new girl anymore, because there's now a newer guy. Just like that, we now have... It's a very convoluted point, but basically, for our show, you haven't seen Friends. You've seen a little bit of Friends. You've seen, like, 100 or so episodes of what we've seen. But we now have on the show somebody else that's never seen Friends up until today and has only seen two episodes. Please, ladies and gentlemen, welcome Nora Guntherella, I'm going to beep out the last name, to the podcast.
Yay! So... because she's the new girl.
Yep.
She'll probably... I'll bring her with me on all of the recordings, so everyone will get to hear all of her little squeaks.
Oh, that'll be fun.
And cries,
and
more likely.
Yep, and well, it's going to be more editing for me. I hope you've considered that. You didn't really consider this podcast at all when you went ahead and got pregnant, but now here we are, and you know we're trying our best to work around it, so... Nora, we're going to put our differences aside. Welcome to the show. I've had a nice little 7-week vacation jaunting around the world. It's been nice. You seem to be in fine health. It was nice to meet you today for the first time. I got a wee hold of you while we watch one of the episodes today. And, yeah. How will this affect the show? Well, it will probably make the audio quality worse and make us release episodes less frequently. If you can believe that. So, here we go. Welcome back, everybody.
Woo!
As way of an apology to our fans, we have a double bonus episode extravaganza today. We've watched two episodes of Friends, and we're going to talk about both of them today. The first one we've just finished watching was the one with mac and cheese. And then we followed that up with the one where Ross meets Elizabeth's dad. So, lots of fun stuff.
I had a lot of fun watching this first episode because I got to take the notes.
I felt really sad for poor little Nora that her first episode ever of Friends was a piece of shit flashback episode.
Yes.
Oh, I got so angry. I was so... I didn't know this was a flashback episode going into it. I was so excited. Here we are, back after about a 7-week absence... back with the podcast, back where we belong, watching Friends together. And what is it, first of all, it's a fucking... Am I allowed to swear in front of Nora?
Yes.
Okay. A fucking bullshit, cunty McGee piece of nonsense that was a flashback episode.
I'm covering her ears.
You just said I could. So we got 5 minutes into that, and we did watch the whole thing, but then we were like, alright, well, we need to watch a second episode. We can't, like... It's going to take us about 5 minutes to do the flashback episode. And
yeah.
So we thought we'd do a bit of both. How dare they, with 4 episodes left in the season, waste time with a flashback episode?
I know. I don't like when any series does a flashback episode. Unless it's like a previously on to help you remember what just happened. But no, I don't like them.
I don't believe... I mean, I don't watch a lot of modern-day sitcoms, but I don't think they do it anymore. I don't think they could get away with it anymore with, like, streaming services and stuff.
Mm.
But, I mean, I suppose when a show is on its first run, like, there's no syndication, there's no repeats. You just watch an episode of the show and then you waited a week for the next episode of the show. So unless you're like buying the videotapes of them, you maybe have only seen these episodes once or twice. So I guess you could get away with it a bit more back then, but...
Well, to be fair, you know, it was a flashback episode, but many of the flashbacks I didn't remember.
Yeah,
so
that
it
was kind
of like watching it for the first time again. I tried to keep track so we can go through later on when we get to it about how many I remembered and how many there were.
So we'll delve into that in pretty quick fashion, and then we'll delve into the second episode, the one where Ross meets Elizabeth's dad. There's an episode I can really relate to. Because I've met your dad, and that was, God, wish someone could write a sitcom about that meeting. God, what a time that was.
He's not Bruce Willis.
Your dad is not Bruce Willis, which is a regret that I have to this day.
No.
Ah, he's a lovely guy. So before we get to it, a bit of housekeeping. Elizabeth, you may or may not be aware, but we recorded an episode without you. In the 7 week absence.
You know, I believe I heard some recording when I was trying to calm a screaming child.
Yeah. A 2 week old, 3 week old baby. I think it was right.
Was the screaming picked up on the microphone?
There's some gurgling. Nora did make an appearance in the last podcast episode.
Great, good.
I recorded one, sat down with my parents, and we did a big, long episode of Bamboozled, 30 questions, which were written up. By a professional quiz writer. 30 questions. I scored a pretty rubbish, actually, 21 out of 30. But as is...
I think that's pretty good.
Yeah. Well, maybe by your standards, but we have we have some very passionate Friends fans that listen to this show, so I did put it out there for our listeners to play along at home.
Yeah, anyone get 30 out of 30?
No 30s out of 30, and I would have been very surprised. Some of the questions were very, very difficult, but lots of people did better than me. So... What do we do again in the Bamboozled? People are either shamed or shunned. No, people are shamed if they get lower than me, and they're just celebrated if they get higher than me. So pretty much everybody that tweeted got higher than me, because obviously why would you tweet me if I did better than you? So the shout-outs. Ryan Walden, your old pal, at Ryan...
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 3, 8, 9, 38, 4, 1, X, L, T, R, F.
Good old Ryan. You can't do anything simply. He got 24.5 out of
69132.
We love you, Ryan. Cheers, mate. The one with all the wrestling at Friends Wrestle, he got 26. He's that excellent Twitter account that combines wrestling and Friends on Twitter.
Yes,
he got 26. Good score there. Let's see. Scott Gregg got 25. He said, great episode, enjoyed it lots. Thank you very much, Scott Gregg. Billy Weber, always in touch. He got 25 out of 30 as well, so he did very well. Lots of people beating me. There was a little bit of scandal. Our old friend Kata got in touch and said that one of the questions actually has a wrong answer.
Of course.
There was a question that asked which one of the cast is the youngest friend, or who is the youngest out of the cast. Would
so
you
is
know
that?
That
character-wise,
no,
or actor?
No, which actor is the youngest?
Oh, maybe Rachel?
Jennifer Aniston was what was listed as the correct answer, but actually, as Kata pointed out, Matthew Perry is actually the youngest cast member. He turned 50 this winter, and... Jennifer Aniston turned 50 this winter, and Matthew will turn 50 later this month. Outrageous. My mum has put in a complaint to the quiz master. She will be getting her 50p back.
Of course.
So Kata was quick to point that out. Kata wasn't quick in offering her own score, so can only assume that she is to be shamed. So thank you for that. And Andy Fennick also, he said he didn't keep track of the score, but he knows he got less than me. So Andy, you're shamed. Thank you for getting in touch with that. We did get some other lovely feedback from that episode. At Katie Beale on Twitter sent a really nice tweet saying, your special guests were delightful, and I feel like sitting down and having a cuppa with them would be a good time. And, you know, they were staying with us for a couple of weeks, and it was a lovely time. And they do make a good cup of tea. So, yeah, it was really nice. Really nice to get that. And I did want to give a shout out for the last episode for the man who put the questions together. You can find him on Twitter, QuizzyWizzy at FunFinderUK. He did get in touch and he said, thanks for airing my quiz. I remember your mum buying the quiz. I think she was with a friend, on a trip to the market. Just checked and saw Matthew Perry is younger than Jennifer Aniston. Apologies to everyone. So he's a big man. He's willing to put his hands up and admit when he's wrong. So thank you very much for getting in touch. And thank you very much for the quiz. We got a whole podcast episode out of it. So we're very grateful to you. And I did... He dropped in one error, but my mum also dropped in an error when she was saying his name was Ordinary Joe 24, I think she said. But his name is actually Ordinary Joe 44, Craig, who does the Quizzy Quizzy. So thank you very much, Craig. Welcome. And if people want a quiz, you know, get in touch with him at Twitter, at FunFinderUK. And he'll put together a good old quiz for you if you're in the market for such a thing. Would you like to do a little bit of Friends Would You Rather?
Of course.
Have you missed it?
Yes.
Good. So I've got one for you that just kind of came to me, and I thought it's kind of in keeping with the second episode we watched today, and also, you know, you've now ventured into parenthood, so I thought a parent's Friends Would You Rather would be quite good.
Okay.
So my question to you is, who would you rather have as your father in terms of the character from Friends? Would you rather have Ross, who... is a loving, if somewhat absent, father, or would you rather have Bruce Willis's character, Paul, who is a very, very protective of his daughter, clearly very loving, but maybe a little bit too invasive. So those are your two choices. It's not Bruce Willis, it's Bruce Willis playing Paul. So your dad would look exactly like Bruce Willis without being Bruce Willis.
Is it right now, or growing up, or as a child? Like, what...
They're your dad.
So, growing up...
So you've had them growing up. You've had them growing up, and now, you know, you're not too far off Elizabeth from the show's age, and Bruce Willis would be your dad, or, you know...
Isn't she like 20?
You're not that far off.
10 years!
Alright, well...
Well, alright, okay, I think that's the only question I have.
Okay, good. Well, we'll check back in with you at the end of the episode to get your answer.
All right,
let's get into this then. Double episode extravaganza. First episode that we watched today, season 6, episode 20. We are getting to the end of season 6.
Woo.
Do you know when we started watching season 6?
Gosh. No.
Beginning of January.
Nuh-uh.
And here we are, over halfway through August. What have we been doing? What's been going on? This is disgraceful. We were averaging, up until now, 2 seasons a year.
I was growing a human.
Yeah. What's your excuse now, eh?
Now
raising
I'm
a human.
Keeping a baby alive every day.
Well, Ross Geller managed to go to the coffee shop 10 times a week when he had a baby. Didn't throw him off at all.
No.
So we just finished the one with mac and cheese. First aired on the 13th of April in the year 2000. Won't it be strange when we're all fully grown? Be there 2 o'clock by the fountain down the road.
You can do this every time.
I never knew that you'd get married. I would have lived in... Okay. But how many people watched it? Last episode, the one with Joey's fridge. Remember that episode?
Yeah, God, it feels so long
ago.
It
was a long time ago. You gave it 5 out of 10.
That's not
so great. No. Had 21.5 million viewers. The current score is, it's close. It's 8-9 right now in my favor.
So I'll let you go first.
Okay, I can go first. Put your goddamn phone on silent.
Sorry, I couldn't reach it.
I'll say 21. I don't think people know that it's a flashback episode, and that's what I'm counting on, because believe me, if people knew it was a flashback episode, it'd be about 3 million.
So it was... 21.9 was the last one?
21.5.
Okay. I'm going to go crazy and say 21.6.
Oh, okay. Correct answer? Oh, maybe people did.
Oh, no.
Maybe people did know.
Oh,
it was
no.
A flashback, I guess, but 18.8.
18.8?
Mm-hmm. They dropped nearly 3 million viewers with that. I don't know how the ratings work. Do people, like, tune out? I think maybe, like, if people tune out in the first 5 minutes or so, maybe that's what goes towards the rating. I think you have to watch a certain amount of the episode. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, maybe like people like tuned out at the first commercial, like, oh, fucking flashback, let's get out of here. So,
Could
yeah.
Be.
I do not wish to dwell too long on this episode, but one of the fun things about this is I got my first hold of Baby Nora while we watched this episode, which gave you the opportunity to take notes on this, which is something you haven't done since, like, episode 3 of season 1. How did that feel?
Well, I was trying to keep the same format that you might use, so
mm-hmm.
that way it's easy to follow, while also trying to make sense in my own way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every scene I would do a bullet point, and when it was a flashback, I would do a little arrow and whatnot. So, yeah, I tried.
Good.
I was very conscious of the fact that you take a lot of notes and somehow do it in a very small amount of space.
Mm-hmm.
So I was so concerned and only did very short little sentences, and then I had way too much space.
Well, while that was happening, while you did that, I'm going to read your notes, so I'm going to see if I can decipher what has been going on.
Okay.
And but we're not going to talk very much about this episode. Fuck this episode.
Yeah.
Piece of shit. It opens with Joey and Phoebe running lines. What is that? Are they at the park? Are they running along some lines in the park? Is this some sort of actor industry term? Running lines? Can you break that down for me a little bit?
I can't tell if you're being facetious or not.
Oh, I'm absolutely being facetious.
Yes, they are
practicing.
Joey has an audition and they are practicing lines together. Phoebe is being his scene partner.
And Phoebe is liking it quite a lot.
Yeah, she's kind of realizing that she thinks she's super good
mm-hmm.
at acting.
You're our resident acting expert. Is Phoebe being super good in this scene?
No, she's being over the top, dramatic.
Mm-hmm.
And
My note would have been, if I were the director, is like, well, yes, well, your deliveries of the line are actually pretty good, but you are voicing a robot, which probably would not be emoting as much.
Ooh, good word.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Emoting. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It starts with the words. Joey gets a little bit perturbed by this. Do you think he was getting like upset because Phoebe was so good, or just because like she was so enthusiastic for her that he was just like, yeah, fuck this?
I think he was just annoyed by the way she was doing it.
He did say, oh, I don't want to over rehearse. Is that something you can do? Can you be going to an audition like too over, like you've poured over every word so much that it's kind of lost all meaning to you?
If you let it get that far, yeah.
Is it something they warn you against, like over-rehearsing or over-practicing?
Not that I've been warned of.
Okay.
Maybe that's because I really needed all the help I could get.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So the episode opened. Nora got her first, the first time her little baby ears have heard the Friends theme.
She actually heard it in utero, Michael.
Yeah, that's true. And she must have done, because somehow she managed to clap along.
I know, she's really quick.
Nah, but she did the 5 claps.
Do.
Fucking amateur. We've been over this. We figured this out season 1, Nora. Come on. Catch up. So the episode opens. Joey is auditioning for a TV show. He's going to be playing Machiavelli, who's a private detective who works with a robot. Do you remember what the acronym was for the robot?
Jeez.
I think it was like Computer Humanoid.
Oh, I don't know.
Computer humanoid electronically enhanced something.
Oh, I have no idea.
But he was cheese. And Joey, like in classic Joey style, was like, God, it's lucky that his name spelled out those letters. And I'm like, yeah, Joey, yeah. So Mac and Cheese, yeah, it's a TV show. It's his big break, he's thinking. You wrote in your notes, Rachel has crazy hair extensions.
Oh my god, I don't know if it's just been so long since the last episode, but both Rachel and Monica look like they've got extensions, especially Rachel. They're super long. Like, out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And
was it out of nowhere? Like, we could go back an episode and see what their hair was like then.
Yeah.
Do you think you would have mentioned it, or do you think it's just been so long?
I don't know. Rachel's just looks so long.
If only we had a way of going back and watching the episode before.
No, we have no way of knowing.
Oh, shoot. One big piece of news that happened while we were away. Netflix is going to be dropping Friends at the end of the year.
Oh, yeah. This is going to be rough.
Yeah, so we are taking donations. If anyone wants to lend us season 7 through 10, that would be really appreciated.
Maybe we'll finish 7 before the end of the year, so just
right.
Well, I guess I'm controlled by a tiny human now.
If we can get through 7 podcasts in 7 days, I will be happy enough. Like, I don't know how that's going to work, to be honest. But, yeah, we shall see. But yeah, apparently they didn't want to pay $100 million again, so out the window. They paid $100 million to keep it on for a year.
People love their friends, Michael.
How many people are cancelling their Netflix subscription because they can't get friends?
Nobody.
They've got Glow, they've got BoJack Horseman, they've got...
Jane the Virgin.
They've got Bright, that Will Smith elf movie. You've got Disenchantment, the...
Queer Eye.
Queer Eye is good. Disenchantment, the underwhelming Futurama follow-up from Matt Groening.
Charmed.
Is Charmed still on there? You sure you're not watching that on Hulu? You've got Club de Cuervos.
Frasier.
Frasier is good, yeah. I'd spend $200 million to keep that on.
I love Frasier.
Mm-hmm.
We know that.
We all love Frasier. Well, we don't like Frasier the character, but...
No.
Anyway, where were we? What were we talking about? Oh, yeah, crazy hair extensions. We then get flashbacks. It's one thing if you're going to do a flashback episode. And do you remember the last time they did a flashback episode?
Mm-mm.
Okay, it was Ross and Emily writing wedding invitations.
Oh, yes,
and they
yes,
were, like,
yes.
debating over whether or not to invite Rachel. And the whole theme of the flashbacks was kind of summarizing Ross and Rachel's relationship and kind of putting the emotion on, like, oh, this is a big decision. Will she be at the wedding? You know, what's going to happen with that? This is the most lazy, shoehorn, slapdash, tomfoolery nonsense. Like, it just angered me. It's like, if you're going to do a flashback, at least make it kind of cohesive or something. Like, make it make sense. But this was just like, Joey is about to go for his audition. He's just like, I don't know if I'm good enough for my own TV show. And everyone's like, what are you talking about, Joey? You're a great actor. Remember all those great acting gigs you've had in the last 6 years? And then it just cuts to him doing his stuff. And it's so annoying. We just had to take a little editing break, but it is a convoluted flashback so annoying that it caused Nora to vomit.
All over me.
Yep. So... yeah, we get flashbacks of Joy's various acting gigs. You were trying to keep a running score.
Yeah, so this was throughout the whole episode, except for they ended up doing one where it was just really quick little moments, so I stopped keeping track. But I did little lines for
mm-hmm.
how many there were, and then checks above them if I remembered the scene or the episode or whatever it was.
Yeah. There was Freud the Musical. You remember that one?
Yep.
There was one before that, which I can't remember now.
I didn't
you
remember.
Couldn't remember either.
No.
Yeah, just various acting gigs. Curiously enough, probably his biggest acting gig to date, his two biggest acting gigs to date, Days of Our Lives and that play he did where he fell in love with his co-star, were not featured in it.
No. Nope.
Two of his biggest roles. So they flash back through his acting jobs about his... You wrote... Oh, past parts. I thought you wrote best parts. I'm like, well, that's debatable. We then get to Central Perk after that round of flashbacks. Chandler and Ross are playing chess, kind of, sort of, maybe. Joey comes in and he pretends like he's didn't go well, and then he's like, just kidding, it went really well. And then he's like, oh God, there's just so much pressure in my job. You guys wouldn't know about that. And Ross is like, oh, I think we know something about pressure.
So ridiculous. And then they did flashbacks
so
to all the times they experienced pressure. And this is all the friends, not just them, those three.
Right.
All of them experiencing
right.
pressure in their jobs.
So rubbish.
Yeah,
so shit. Like, the clips themselves are good clips. It's more about, like, the way that they're getting to them. You're just like, ugh.
Mm-hmm.
So we get that. I think we see Ross yelling about his sandwich, which is always a good time. We see, like, Phoebe being propositioned by Paolo on the massage table. We have Chandler talking about his weenus, all that fun stuff. We then have Chandler talking to the chick and the duck, and he's like, hey, I just moved across the hall, but you can't come visit because Monica hates you. He gets a call. Joey's audition has been moved. Oh, look at you, Fucking Billy Big Boots. You were worried about space, but you managed to write audition slash callback. You just had to get that fucking insider term there.
Well, I wasn't sure. I think it is a callback. And I wanted to make sure that it was correct. Because he's already auditioned, so this is probably a callback, right?
You fucking... Okay, anyway, the time's been moved from 5 o'clock to 2:30. So, he goes to write a note on the... I keep wanting to say Etch-a-Sketch, but
like
it's
doodle like, board,
like the Magna Doodle or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But as he's doing it, Monica opens the door and he forgets all about it and he leaves. And so Joey misses the audition and it goes to somebody else and they argue, basically. They argue and then they talk about, oh, Joey's like, oh, Chandler's like, well, it's just one mistake. I think I'm allowed one mistake. And Joey's like, oh, you've made other mistakes. And then they flash back to him kissing his girlfriend and...
making mistakes.
Yes.
It's just...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then Joey's like, what? And then Chandler, we cut back to Chandler and he's like, well, you've done stuff too. And yeah, we get...
I'm like, I'm thinking about it now.
Yeah. All right, yeah, this is really rubbish, actually, because then we cut to Chandler being worried about Joey ever forgiving him, and Rachel's just like, hey, you know, friends fight and then you make up, it's what they do, and then it just cuts to arguments between the friends.
Yeah.
And again, the clips he used were great times in Friends. It's like when Ross and Rachel, like, argue about the 18-page letter... or when, like, Rachel and Monica get into a fist fight and Phoebe breaks it up. And it's just like, oh, it's so clunky. Chandler brings a pizza to apologize, two pizzas, the Joey special, to apologize to Joey. This was established back in the London episodes. To apologize, Joey's not there, the phone rings. There is a chance for the part, so he writes the message on the Magna Doodle. I know, Nora, it's a terrible episode, but we're almost through it. And then he leaves to go and try and find Joey. He comes home and Joey's like, oh, I didn't see the message. And Chandler's like, oh, I'm so sorry. And then he's like, don't be sorry, I did get the part. Hooray! And then they hug. And then we see a flashback of all the times they've hugged. And then...
that's when I stopped keeping track. I couldn't keep up with all the hugs.
And then the rubbish episode ends with them being like, oh, we probably hugged too much. And they get really awkward. And then they shake hands like... guys, just celebrate your friendship, eh? You guys are super close. You've lived together for years. Come on now. You can hug. Like, you hugged 10 times over 6 years. I think that's okay. And then the episode ends back where it started. Phoebe and Joey running lines. Phoebe is really into it. Joey is, like, a little bit like, ugh. But then Ross pops up, and he's got some really dramatic lines in there. He's, like, yelling his lines, and they're like, Ross, you don't have to yell. And he's like, there was just an explosion. My hearing would be impaired. And I love that. That was actually the highlight of the episode.
Yeah, that was the only
Ross
part.
Stealing the scene. Stealing the show.
This is just a little pterodactyl background noise.
And that was the one with the mac and cheese. I mean, Elizabeth, you've been rating episodes out of 10. This isn't even really... this is a third of an episode. It's like a third of a storyline. They just couldn't be bothered writing something for Phoebe, Rachel, Monica, and Ross to do this week. What did you give it out of 10?
Like a 1?
A 1?
2, maybe?
Give it a 2 for Ross.
All right, fine.
Ross at the end elevates it. Terrible episode, but like also not a real episode. So
yeah.
What are you going to do? Can we jump right into the one where Ross meets Elizabeth's dad?
I don't know. It's up to this little one.
Oh, boy. I've got some whiskey I can rub on her gums. I'm not going to edit that out, but I do want to make it clear that it's a joke. You do not give this baby alcohol.
Well, you might not.
Oh, shit. Do you want her dummy?
I don't want to shut her up.
Okay. All right, so season 6, episode 21, the one where Ross meets Elizabeth's dad. First aired on the 27th of April, the year 2000. Won't it be strange when we're all fully grown? Be there, 2 o'clock, by the fountain down the road. Do you know this song?
No.
Disco 2000 by Pulp?
I mean, maybe.
It's a great song. Do you know Pulp?
Yes.
Common People?
Yes.
You never live like common people.
Oh, yeah.
Jarvis Cocker. He punched Michael Jackson in the face one time.
I know a lot about Pulp.
Yeah. They're a great band.
All right.
how many people watched it. You kind of need this. It's now 8 to 10. Only a couple episodes less than this season. 18.8 people watched last week's one. Where do you think we're landing this time around?
I'm going to say 19.6.
Okay. I'll go 20. I think they're going to bump back up again.
All right.
You said 19.6?
Mm-hmm.
20.6.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Oh, good week for me. Oh, yes, yes, yes. 11 to 8. I think you might only be able to tie the season.
Yeah, whatever.
One, two, three. Yep, three episodes left, so you need to take all three.
I believe in me.
Well, at least someone does. All right, so the episode opens. The gang are doing their horoscopes in Central Park. Rachel is reading Chandler's. She says, you're going to receive a gift from a loved one. And he's like, oh, thank you, Monica. And then it's like, then you're going to get into an argument with someone. And Monica's like, I'm going to argue with you because you're going to rag on the gift I got you, aren't you? And then she's like, and then a secret admirer is going to reveal they have a crush on you. And Phoebe sort of like looks over and like does kissy faces at Chandler. It's all very playful. Joey comes in. He is starting his new job on mac and cheese. He is not prepared. He has never worked alongside a robot before, which is fair enough.
Yeah. How many people have?
You know. Animatronics and stuff. People in Jurassic Park and...
Yeah, but I feel like, for the most part,
no.
The average actor...
Yes, fine. Fair enough. Would it be different? Do you think you would have a hard time acting alongside... Like, do you think you would struggle if you were acting with, like, I don't know... a tennis ball on the end of a stick, or like a guy in like the sort of rubber ball suit or anything like that? Do you think you would struggle with that? You know, you're
yeah.
very much a theater actress by trade.
I think I would struggle with it, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, you really rely on the people in the scene with you and their reactions and the way they emote.
Mm.
Call back from the other episode.
Fair enough. Joey is a bit of a technophobe. He doesn't really have a lot. I mean, so weird. Like, no cell phones, no real laptops. You know, Chandler has a laptop because he has to do work on it, but like no Wi-Fi, not even really. I mean, the internet is a thing in 2000, but it's not really a thing.
It was a simpler time.
God. Do you not like, you remember, right?
Yeah.
We're like of the generation. We are technically millennials, but we're like, I think it's called Xennials. We're like the tail end of Generation X into Millennials. So like we've experienced both worlds. We like grew up without technology and now it is like such a huge part of our life. Do you not miss it a wee bit?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I kind of miss it too.
I liked when it was a lot simpler as well. I liked when I was on like AIM messaging people and...
Well, that's just texting now. That's just like your...
But like, you know... Dialing up the dial-up modem to get on the internet and...
I've deleted social media off of my phone in an attempt to try it. Like, I would like to just use my phone as a tool at this point and just use it for things that I need it for and not, like, try to waste any more time on it, but...
That's good.
It's hard. It's actually really hard.
I couldn't do it.
Yeah, it's tricky. Like, what do I do when I go to the bathroom?
Bring a book?
Go back... Well... I'm a Xennial. I know what I used to do before I had phones. I used to, like, read the back of shampoo bowls or something.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. And, like, count the tile squares
yep,
on the floor.
Yeah, I used to do that shit all the time. Oh, man. Simpler time.
Like toothpaste.
Yeah. All right. But Joey's talking about, oh, yeah, I don't know how to use a computer except to look up porn on Chandler's computer. But that's because it's right there when I open it. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Finding porn on the internet back into, like, you just gotta open a page and then wait 15 minutes for a single still to, like, load up. Seriously, you're quicker going to the woods.
To find Filthy Fuckers 5?
I didn't find that in the woods. That was just lying in my street.
Filthy Fuckers 4?
I think it was 4.
Five?
I think it was 4.
Either way, just the F. You know, the alliteration really gets me.
So the episode opens. Phoebe is revealed that she is writing a book. By that, she has, like, bought an empty blank notebook and is just going to write in it. She's apparently written 14 books before. It's just like, okay, Phoebe, great. You do you. Ross enters Central Park with the rest of the gang, and he is excited slash nervous because Elizabeth's father has requested to meet Ross. This is not Elizabeth wants him to meet her dad. It's he is asked to meet Ross. So he thinks he's going to need the gang support, basically. He's like, I need you guys to kind of talk me up. So that'll be interesting. Joey arrives on the set for Mac and Cheese. It's like in a private detective office. He meets the robot operator, Cheese's like creator. When they first meet, he's like, he mistakes the guy, the human man who designed Cheese as the robot. It's like, wow, this is so lifelike. And then they're like, no. This is the man who made Cheese. This is Cheese. And then they kind of wheel in this robot. How would you describe Cheese?
Mostly metal and small, but I'd say it kind of reminded me of, you ever play with those things called, not Tinker Toys, like Kinects?
No.
They were plastic.
Okay.
But they kind of looked like all the parts of Cheese. I mean, it's definitely a robot. It's not as advanced as the ones today, but...
Have you ever seen the Short Circuit movies?
No.
It's a shit Johnny Five, mate. It's a shit Johnny Five, and everybody knows it. The head of it looks a wee bit like one of the puppets from Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Yes, the moose.
The moose? Okay, yeah. I've only seen like two episodes of that show. You're welcome. Yeah, he's a shit Johnny Five. I'm not impressed, but more importantly, Joey is not impressed. He's just like, oh, I expected the robot to look a lot less not shit. And the guy seems a little bit upset by that. Because he spent 2 years making him. And he does, like, he puts on a headset and, like, the robot talks when he talks. I mean, that's not easy to do.
I thought it was actually kind of good.
I know, but, like, you think you're doing, like, serious, like, action TV show. I don't know. Like, he has, like, tread wheels that he moves on. Like, how's he going to get upstairs?
Yeah.
It's the classic Dalek from Doctor Who conundrum. Anyway, we cut back to Central Perk. Elizabeth's bringing her dad to meet Ross. And who's her dad?
It's Bruce Willis!
It's Bruce Willis! Which leads me on to a point that I've been wanting to talk about for 6 years, and pretty much the only reason that I started this podcast in the first place.
Oh my.
Elizabeth, let me take you back a couple of seasons, right? You probably remember. There's a conversation in Central Perk between Chandler and Joey. And they talk about how they want to do something with their lives. They want to, like, climb Mount Everest or something. But then they give up and they decide instead they're just going to go home and rent Die Hard and watch Die Hard. Do you remember that? You remember that episode?
Slightly.
Okay. What's the problem with that, Elizabeth? Yes, Nora, I agree. What's the problem with that?
It hasn't been made yet?
No. What's the problem now in relation to this conversation we're having about this episode? Who's in Die Hard?
Bruce Willis.
Bruce Willis. So what's going on here?
What do you mean? What is the problem?
Friends exists in a world where Die Hard is a thing, which means Bruce Willis is an actor that was in Die Hard. And now, Bruce Willis has shown up in an episode playing someone who is not Bruce Willis. So... are we living in a world where Die Hard stars somebody other than Bruce Willis? Or are we living in a world where Paul, Elizabeth's father, just looks a lot fucking like the actor Bruce Willis? And if that's the case, why is no one mentioning it?
I think it's the latter.
Really?
Yeah.
So why is
no one... They would have mentioned it. They would have said something like, God, that guy looks a lot like... You know, it's like a...
So it's the former, then. It's where...
No, where her dad just happens to look like Bruce Willis.
So why is no one commenting on it?
I don't know, because sometimes the writers of the show aren't very good. We've established that.
Maybe it's just the fact that they... Are you not furious as I am?
I mean, I'm trying to stifle it down, really.
Look, This is a world where Jean-Claude Van Damme is Jean-Claude Van Damme, and he's in movies, and he is Jean-Claude Van Damme. This is a world where Julia Roberts is not Julia Roberts. She is someone that went to school with Joey, but that's fine because they don't mention, they don't talk about Julia Roberts ever. They don't talk about Robin Williams or Billy Crystal, who have both had cameos in Friends. But they have talked about something that Bruce Willis... Elizabeth, why are you not mad?
I guess I just am not as invested in this...
The continuity! Gah! It's maddening. And one of the reasons that I like or love the show Love on Netflix so much is because Paul Rudd's character talks about this as well. It is messed up.
Oh, okay. So you have some other friends out there that you can yell about this to on Twitter.
Well, Paul Rudd is not my friend, but...
Could be.
I wish. He's pretty funny. All right. So anyway, he's there. You a fan of Bruce Willis? What movies of Bruce Willis have you seen?
Die Hard.
You haven't seen Die Hard.
I watched it with you.
Did we watch it? Did you watch it?
I had nightmares after.
Did you? Why?
Because it was scary.
Okay. Have you seen the Look Who's Talking movies?
No.
He's the voice of the baby, huh? Huh? You're holding a baby right now. Oh, wow. She's sleepy. Have you seen Disney's The Kid?
Oh, yeah, I have.
Have you?
Yeah.
He's in that.
I liked that one.
You would. All right, baby's getting a little bit restless, so I will put a pin in this for now, but rest assured, I have a lot more to say on the subject. He is not impressed with Ross. But then again, who would be? He disapproves. He's just basically like, oh, what's wrong? You can't find girls your own age to date. Does he have a point? It's about a 10-year age difference?
No, I don't think it's that uncommon. It's just because it's his daughter. Yeah. It's not, I mean, it happens all the time.
So he disapproves. Ross is like, oh, just give me a chance to change your mind. He's like, okay, I'll give you 2 minutes. So he tries to, like, tell jokes and... kind of like intimates that they fooled around and it doesn't go well, but then his friends arrive and he's like, thank goodness. Monica and Phoebe are quite taken by Bruce Willis. What did you think? Do you think he's quite hunky? This is kind of peak Bruce Willis time. This is like Sixth Sense time. This is where like
oh, I've seen that one too.
Oh, good. There you go. Have you seen Unbreakable, the far superior
no.
Bruce Willis M. Night Shyamalan movie?
No.
You should. It's good.
I mean, I can understand it, but I personally don't find him that attractive. No.
Is this a wig he's wearing right now? Is this, like, hair plugs that he's wearing? Like, he's a notoriously, like, he was a very, like, receding hairline actor, and then he's kind of embraced the baldness in recent years. But did you get a whiff of fakeness about his hair?
I didn't even know it. It didn't cross my mind at all. I didn't notice.
Okay. But would you, Bruce Willis? Here, in this particular episode. Not Bruce Willis right now.
Maybe.
Yeah. He's all right.
Yeah.
He's got kind of an everyman appeal about him, right?
Yeah.
He's not like your typical. So the ladies love him. The gang tried to talk Ross up. They're talking about how he helps out at the children's hospital and he was a great roommate in college. And Bruce Willis just keeps on bringing up loved ones that have died for him. Like he had a brother that died and he has his wife is dead and his roommate, a part of him died. It's just like... okay, this guy's got a dark backstory that we'll never ever hear. Then Rachel arrives, and she really puts her foot in it. She arrives, and she just assumes that he isn't there yet. He's like, so, when does the dad get here? And I have to talk you up. And he's like, I'm already here, baby. And she's like, ooh, okay.
Awkward.
That's all super awkward. Elsewhere, Chandler and Monica are bickering about something or other, and Phoebe is writing it down. I don't want to waste time on this storyline. It's a bit shit.
Well, essentially, Phoebe's just writing everything down that Chandler and Monica are doing, because it's about relationships and what not to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's just kind of like, they needed something to do this episode.
Mm-hmm. It's later in the day. Rachel is at Central Perk on her own. Old Bruce Willis returns. He's left his keys. They're looking for it together. They chat a little bit. She tries to, like, convince him that Ross is an okay guy. But she ends up being won over a little bit by his charms instead.
I'll say.
It is a bit of a clunky scene. Like, they're trying to, like... It's like they're connecting, but it is just like he is repeating the same information we learned about him in the previous scene where his wife is dead and like we learned that from him, but Rachel wasn't there, so he's just saying it all over again. Elsewhere, Joey is complaining about Cheese and his human that invented him, and he's like, I think I'm going to try and get this guy fired because I don't need his shit. He then gets a phone call from one of our favorite recurring characters, Estelle! Great to see her. Great that she's back. She only drops in from time to time. One of the great TV agents, along with BB, I think, from Frasier. They're
definitely
both up there. I mean, she's used a bit more sparingly than BB was, but yes, both very strong. Estelle basically calls Joey. He's like, I've got an audition for you, but you got to keep it quiet because the actor doesn't know he's about to be fired. And it's for Mac and Cheese. And Joey's like, shit, I'm about to lose my job. Estelle's really put her foot in it.
Could he be fired for insulting the robot?
I mean, if the guy, like, the show is based around the robot. Like, there's no show without the robot. So if the guy, like, if it was, like, six seasons in, they would be like, you've got to make this work. But considering they haven't even filmed the pilot yet, they would probably just be like, the guy probably does have enough sway to be like, I don't want to work with this guy.
Okay.
So they could probably just recast him. And he's not a big name. And he's not, I don't know. It would probably be quite easy. Ross just storms into Rachel and Joey's apartment. He's looking for Joey. But he does not find Joey. He finds Rachel and Brucie canoodling on a couch together.
Ooh.
Ooh, very steamy. Sitting on that couch that we have never seen anyone sit on. Actually, we saw Joey and Phoebe running lines on that couch. But we don't see people on that couch very often.
No, we don't.
And he is taken aback, and he makes it super awkward, and he tries to hide in Joey's room. And Bruce Willis makes fun of him, and then he leaves. And then Ross is, like, bewildered. He's like, Rachel, what are you doing? And she's like, this could be good for you. I could talk you up more.
Why didn't Ross think, oh my god, this is perfect. Now he can't say anything about me dating his daughter when he and Rachel have a huge age difference.
Do you think? Well, probably about the same. Yeah.
Why wasn't
30 to
that
40 maybe?
It's like, okay. So clearly, like, why wasn't that a plot point?
Because it's not really the age difference he has a problem with. It's more the, like, there's a big difference between a 20-year-old dating a 30-year-old and a 30-year-old dating a 40-year-old. Especially if it's your daughter. Especially if there's, like, this, you know, you're a professor at the university. I don't know.
I thought the whole thing was going to be, oh, great, now I can use this. Like, I thought as soon as I saw them kissing.
Yeah.
That he would have no argument anymore because now he's doing it.
Yeah.
But it wasn't.
Nope, wasn't.
I'm surprised.
So, but Rachel convinces Ross, this is a good thing. I can talk you up, basically. And Ross is like, all right, we'll go on a double date and we'll see how it goes. Joey's job is in jeopardy and he's like, what am I going to do? Apparently, I'm far more replaceable than this sophisticated talking robot, which he probably should have realized from the beginning. So everyone's just like, just turn on the charm. Just, you know, befriend this guy and you'll be okay. And he's like, all right, well, I'll give it a go. It was at this point I noticed that for the whole episode, Joey has been wearing this kind of red hoodie. I really like that hoodie. Like, I've given Joey shit for his fashion sense in the past, but I really like that red hoodie.
Did you?
Yeah. Wow. It's kind of ahead of his time. I'd wear that hoodie now, 20 years later. It's pretty cool. Made him look good as well. Made him look pretty athletic, which Joey is not really known for.
Is that why you want it?
Yes, of course. Phoebe is still writing. Monica decides to give her a taste of her own medicine by writing what she's doing. It's not good. It's not interesting.
It's just filler.
It's just like, what can we do with these three characters this week? We see Joey in the studio. He tries to turn on the charm, but he ends up just breaking an arm off of the robot. And yeah, he's in trouble. But then he sees an attractive girl and he turns on the charm and he's like, how you doing? And the human inventor of cheese, whose name is Wayne, by the way, he's got a name. He sees this as well. Could this be setting up something for later? We then go to the double date between Ross and Elizabeth and Rachel and Paul. It's begins with Rachel telling a familiar story that we have seen before on the show, where she gets stood up for her senior prom, so Ross, like, puts a suit on and he's going to take her to prom, but then her date shows up at the last minute. And, like, Rachel's telling it to make Ross seem like a really caring person, but, like, after Paul hears it, he's just like, oh, so Ross, you were in college and you jumped at the chance to take this high school girl to prom.
Yeah, he's just fishing for anything.
Yeah, well, he's got a problem with the age difference. The age difference, man.
Well, Rachel and him have an age difference.
What a hypocrite. And Rachel's just kind of like, wow, I didn't see that story backfiring on me. And you're like, yeah, good point. Good point. Rachel then goes to the bathroom, and Paul is kind of like, all right, Ross, I know I've been, like, giving you a lot of shit, but Elizabeth likes you, so I will give you the benefit of the doubt. And Ross is like, oh, thank you, that's great. And then he's like, I hope you understand why I've been so protective. A part of me still sees Elizabeth as, like, this little girl that I raised from a baby. And Ross is like, oh, yeah, I know what you mean. I see it that way, too. And he's just like, what the fuck?
No, that was a weird comment.
Poor choice of words. But then he's like, oh, no, I have my own son, and he's six. 6 years old. Where is he?
Nobody knows.
So then, like, Paul's like, oh, you were married before? Or like, oh, I didn't realize you were married. And then Rachel comes back and hears that, and she's like, oh, yes, we were married, but it was just for a minute. So it's like, oh,
it was just a drunken adventure.
Oh, Rachel, you're really putting your foot in it, mate. So he's back to square one. Chandler and Monica are arguing about a time that they were going to go see a movie. One thinks it's at 6, one thinks it's at 7. Phoebe knows the answer, it's in her book, and they're like, oh, Phoebe, please tell us, your book is awesome. And she's just like, okay, one of you thinks it's 6, one, and she's just like, she knew that they had the wrong times, and she didn't say anything, and it's just like, oh, fuck, okay, fine. Joey has been fired from the show, and he's packing up his stuff to leave, and he is confronted by Wayne, and Wayne is like, I'll save your job if you teach me how to be good with the girls. So Joey's like, all right, I'll do it, Wayne. You got it, boy. And then we have Rachel kind of breaking down the three marriages that Ross had, and he's just like, oh, well, this one was this, and this was this, and then my R1 didn't really count. And she's just making it worse. So yeah. She excuses herself and goes to the bathroom.
She really is trying to talk him up, though. Like, she's doing the best she can.
The thing is, Ross's only plan to win over Paul is to have his friends, like, try and convince him. He doesn't try and do anything himself. Like, at the beginning, it's, oh, talk her up. Talk me up. And then later on, Rachel's like, oh, I'll try and talk you up. And then when they're together, he's like, I can talk you up. It's like, try something else.
Yeah.
Try to be impressive
just,
on your
just
own.
Be you.
No, don't do that. What? Don't do that.
Well, I guess if any listener was in this situation, I would just say to be themselves.
Right. Just show yourself to be, like, an attentive, like, a considerate partner.
Like, a respectful. Respectful,
right, right. He doesn't even, like, really talk to Elizabeth.
No, she doesn't have much to do.
No.
So she's just there.
But, like, Paul is at this point just like, all right, I'm sick of this shit. But then Elizabeth's like, well, okay, fine, you don't have to like him, I like him. And Ross is just like, okay, well, if you don't like me, I don't like me. Like,
yeah.
They just agree to come to, like, sort of common ground. So I guess you can say their interactions end with an uneasy truce between Ross and Paul. But perhaps we shall see more from them in the future.
Will he make a return? Oh.
No promises. We'll see. And the episode ends with Joey back on set at Mac and Cheese. He's recording a scene with Cheese. They're kind of wrapping up their own episode. And the robot just starts, like, flipping out and bumping and trying to, like, flip the table and shit. And Joey's like, hey, Wayne, what are you doing? And you look over and you see off scene that Wayne is busy, like, making out with the attractive lady from earlier.
I literally missed that.
Completely. Oh, you did?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. He's, like, kissing her and he, like, he has his arms around her, but then he still has his hands on, like, the remote control. So, like, Cheese is just, like, all over the place.
Whoa.
Joey's a good teacher. Managed to give that guy some game in a very short amount of time.
Impressive.
Yeah, good work. Good work, Joey. Saved your ass. Saved your job. And that was the one where Ross meets Elizabeth's dad. Having gone from pretty much the lowest scoring episode, where would you rank that episode?
Maybe like a 6.
Only a 6?
Yeah.
All right. Let down by weeks, side plot? Like, did you like the main story with Bruce Willis?
I like the main story, yeah.
Yeah. So we've got a new antagonist for Ross, and yet a new paramour for Rachel, all in one character. And, yeah, so we'll see where that goes. But, yeah, the other plots, the mac and cheese stuff is like, meh. And the book writing stuff was shit.
I agree.
Need to do something better with Monica and Chandler, man. Just wasting away.
Well, I'm sure it's to come.
Yeah, we'll see. All right, well, that'll do it for this week's episode then. Baby is getting fussy, so we need to wrap up quickly. We'll get your answer for the Would You Rather in just a moment. But first of all, thank you all very much for listening. Catch us on Twitter, @FriendsPod. Check out our show notes and stuff over on Instagram. Our website, friendstotheend.podomatic.net, is where you can find all our old episodes. We're available on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and anywhere else where you can find podcasts. And as always, tell a friend, word of mouth is a great way for us to reach a larger audience. Elizabeth, take us home. Would you rather have Ross Geller as a parent or Paul/Bruce Willis as a parent?
This might be controversial. Oh, maybe not in the way you're thinking.
No.
I would rather have Bruce Willis.
That's not controversial. You hate Ross.
No, I feel like as a teenager, I'd rather have Ross, but this is for your entire life. So I'd rather have Bruce Willis's character because clearly he did a good job all by himself.
Mm.
And he's an attentive, loving, seems like just a really good dad. Whereas Ross, as we know, is kind of absent.
They're basically the opposite styles of parent. Like, Bruce Willis did it all by himself, and Ross did none of it at all by himself.
Yeah.
Or with somebody else. He's like the two.
So, I mean, wouldn't you agree?
Yeah. I don't know why it would be controversial. It would have been more controversial if you picked Ross, I think.
All
right, well, thank you all very much for listening. From myself and Elizabeth and Nora Gantharella, we will see you next time.
Bye.
Nora, you got anything you want to say? See you next time.